Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Tezayin. As you know, we're smack in the middle of the beautiful sugya of Rab Chanina Skana Kehanim and Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. And in particular, we're up to the fifth line on the top of Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, where the line begins, V'Sabar Rebbe Loza Mashkin Islu Tumah Bu'Oilam. Now, this Rebbe Loza that the Gemara is quoting is from the second line of today's Amud, where you see it on the second line, go up 2-3 lines. V'chein ha'yir Reblazer oimer kedvarav. Now, what is this referring to? The V'chein is going back on Reb Meir. What did Reb Meir say? So that's the top line of this Amud. Sofik mashkin li tamei li tamei acherim tohor divrei Reb Meir. And you recall that we learned about this yesterday. It was at the very end of the shiur. Reb Meir holds when it comes to mashkin. Mashkin, of course, are liquids, drinks. If I have a suffix, whether they became tameh or not, Rashi gives an example. You have a person who's tameh, who's sitting on the couch, and he's spreading out his legs, and he may have touched a barrel or a container containing mashkin. I don't know whether or not in stretching out his legs he touched the mashkin or he didn't touch the mashkin. So that's a suffix. Since Reb Meir holds that mashkin can be tamei min ha-toira, it's a suffix whether or not it became tamei or not. Suffix d'oraisa lahachmir and tamei. On the other hand, once the mashkin became tamei, and now a person threw some of that mashkin towards a lineup of kikoros. Kikoros are loaves of bread. Those loaves of bread were tahar. The person threw the mashkin, and I don't know, did the mashkin land on one of these kikoros, or did it not? If it landed on one of the kikoros, it would have become tameh. If it did not, it would not. Says Reb Meir that if I have a suffix, whether the mashkin was metame acherim, other food items, those food items are tahir. Why? Because Reb Meir holds that even though mashkin can become tamei min ha-toira, but they cannot be mitame. They cannot transmit tumah min ha-toira. They can only transmit tamei midrabanan. Somebody has to put their speaker on mute because we hear background noise. Good morning, David. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, very clearly, Reb Meir holds mashkin can receive and become vulnerable and susceptible to tumah min ha-toira, that they themselves become tamei. However, they cannot be metamei acherim min ha-toira, only midrabanan. And said the Brice of Achein, Hoy Reb Lozer Oimer, Kidvarev. Reb Lozer said the exact same thing. No tumas mashkin letame acherim. Only it itself can become tame, but not to be mitame. Freg di Gemara, the Sav Reb Lozer mashkin islum tumam me'abahilam. Does Reb Lozer hold that mashkin have any tumah at all? Vatanya, Reb Lozer Oimer, the same Reb Lozer says, ain tumah lemashkin kol ikr, zero. Mashkin cannot become tumah, and certainly they cannot transmit tumah. So the kasha of the Gemara is on the first part of Reb Lozer. That Reb Lozer said, I hold like Reb Meir. And Reb Meir says, and therefore Reb Lozer says, that mashkin can have their own tumah. They cannot be metame, they cannot transmit tumah, but they are susceptible to tumah themselves. Says the Gemara, Reb Lozer says, no tumah at all, zero, shemi, gunisht, riyah, nada, no tumah whatsoever, min ha-toira. Therefore we have a stira, Reb Lozer, Reb Lozer. And Reb Lozer continues on, Teida, I'll bring you a raya that they don't have tumah at all. Shari heyed Yosef or Reb Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzereda al ayel kamtza dochein v'al mashkin beis mit b'chaya dochein. Reb Yosi ben Yoezer was meyed. Meyed means that he testified, he attested. This lashon you find throughout Mesechtes Idiois, because Idiois the many of the Mishnayos begin Hayid, which means the person didn't just say something. He is now, if you will, confirming, verifying.
Testifying?
But he's not testifying like in court, but rather what he's trying to say is, Rabbi, it's not only I them saying that is saying this, but may it, I can go and report to you, and with veracity and with historical authenticity, I can repeat to you what happened years ago, what people would say, etc.
So anyway, making a proclamation.
Like a proclamation. Good. Anyway, so it's a stronger lashon than just saying, I said it, he's proclaiming it. Anyway, so says Gemara, what did Rabbi Yosef ben Ezra Ish Tzureda say? He said one thing which is unrelated to us, Ayel Kamtza. Ayel Kamtza is the name of a Haishrik. What's a Haishrik? A Haishrik is a species of grasshopper. And he said, Ayel Kamtza, that species of grasshopper, Dochein. The word Dochein means it's kosher. The word Dochein is an Aramaic term. As you know, in Aramaic, a lot of Hebrew words that start with a Zayin in Aramaic begin with a Dalet. And so therefore the word Dochein is as if it would say Zochein with a Zayin, just like we have at the end of this week on Chanukah, Shemen Zayis, Zoch means pure. Here too he's saying that this Ayel Kamtza, this grasshopper that is hopping all over, is pure, you're allowed to go and eat it. As we know, there are various species of grasshoppers, some of which are kosher, some of which are not kosher. We, Ashkenaz, don't eat any grasshoppers today because we unfortunately have lost the Mesoira, but in many Svarta communities among Taimina and perhaps Moroccans and others, they still have that Mesoira and they still eat grasshoppers, kosher grasshoppers. So, Rabbi Yosef ben Ezra Ish Tzureda said that Ayel Kamtza, if you ever find an Ayel Kamtza, there's a sale in the store that's selling Ayel Kamtza, you should know that those are kosher. Three for a dollar, exactly.
The chocolate covered ones.
I'm sorry?
The chocolate covered ones,
especially. Yeah. Okay.
Those are kosher.
Okay. Anyway, when you want to buy it in the store, you'll see that the prices are hopping. Anyway, that was the first thing. The Almashkin, I had to do it. I couldn't hold it in.
What did you say?
The prices are hopping. They're hopping, yeah. Okay. The Almashkin basement b'chaye dochein. Now we get back to Arsugim. He also said that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mashkin of the basement b'chaye. The basement b'chaye means in the Azara where they used to go and take the korban after it was geshochten, they would go and work with it. What means to work with it? They had to go strip it, hefshet, and also nituach, they would go and cut it into pieces, as well as they had to go and check the vital organs to make sure that the animal is kosher, and we didn't have a problem of a korban that was a treifim. Mashkin, of course, means the liquids. Liquids in the basement b'chaye, in that Beit Mitzrayim where they worked with the karbonos, the two mashkin that we're talking about are, number one, the blood from the animal, naturally, and number two, also water, because they use the water also to go and clean off the animal and to clean off the inner organs, those things that we put onto the mizbeach, or the chalovim, the aymerim. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer said, I want you to know that those mashkin are tohar. Now the reason why they are tohar is because min ha-toyra there is no din of tumma at all, according to Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar is saying the same thing in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzureda, no din of tumas mashkin at all. Zero. There could be a din of tumma midrabanan. However, says Rashi, that tumma midrabanan, they only were noheg outside the Beis HaMikdash. They were not noeg inside the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why they were not noeg inside the Beis HaMikdash was because they didn't want to lose kachim. It's what we call legozru mishum hefsid kachim. So even though the Chacham did make dinim that mashke is metame midrabanan, they didn't extend it to the Beis HaMikdash because we didn't want to lose any kachim. So what do we see so far? That this Reb Lazar says Ein tumah l'mashkin kol ikar, zero. Hayyad Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer, there is no din of tumas mashkin and basement b'chaya, zero. So therefore, it's shver on Rebbe Lozer of the Brice at the top of the Amud, where Rebbe Lozer said kidvarov like Reb Meir, and Reb Meir says that mashkin do have a tumah for themselves. They are susceptible to tumah, just they cannot transmit the tumah. So don't we have a stira Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Lozer? So says the Gemara, Hanichel Shmuel the Amar Dochein Melatami Tumas Acher, Aba Tumas Atzman Yeshlen Shapir. In fact, there is a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, how we understand Rebbe Lazar and how we understand Rebbe Yossi ben Yoezer. We explained that Rebbe Yossi ben Yoezer holds that when he said Al Mashkin Beis Machaim Dochein, it means it's totally pure from a Lashon Zach. Totally pure, no tumma whatsoever, nothing. However, Shmuel didn't understand it that way. Shmuel said that we say that the Beis Mitbachai, the Mashkin Beis Mitbachai, Dochen, means that it cannot be metame others. That water and that blood, which is in the Beis Mitbachai, are susceptible to tumma. All Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer said that the Mashkin Beis Mitbachai, tumme, Dochen, means that they cannot be metame other things, so that if this water and this blood that became Tomei were to go and touch, for instance, other Kodshim, the Kodshim would not become Tomei, because Tumas Atzman they have, but they don't have Tumas Acherim. So it says Yimar, Hanichel Leshmul Di Amad Dochen. What does Dochen mean? Milatami Tumas Acherim. Not Milatami others, meaning other Karbonis. Av Tumas Atzman Yeshlam, but they do have their own intrinsic, inherent Tumah. They can become susceptible to Tumah. Then Shapir, that's good. Because that's exactly what Rameir said, and that's exactly what Rebbe Lazar said, that they could have Tumas Atzman, they just cannot be Metami Acherim. Everything would be perfect. Rav the Amadochin Mamish. However, Rav, when he interpreted that Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer, which was quoted by Rebbe Lazar, that when it says Mashkin, basement Bechaya, Dochen, Dochen means Dochen, Mamish mean totally pure. They cannot even become susceptible to Tumah, garnished. Ma'ikla Meimar is the Shver, because Rebbe Lazar is bringing the name of Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Yossi, according to Rav, is saying totally, totally pure. I, Rebbe Lazar, at the top of the Amud said, I hold like Rameir, and Rameir holds that they do have their own susceptibility to Tumah. Amr Rav Nachma Yitzchak Achada, says Rav Nachma Yitzchak, Nishgeferlich. Rebbe Lazar Be'emison argues with Rameir, and Rebbe Lazar holds that there is no such thing as Mashkin becoming Tomei Min HaTorah. Doesn't exist. Rebbe Meir said that Mashkin can become Tomei, they just cannot transmit Tomei. The V'cheinu Rebbe Lazar Oimer is going on the second part of Rebbe Meir. The first part of Rebbe Meir says, Suffing Mashkin Li Tomei, that Mashkin can themselves become Tomei, says Rebbe Lazar, I respectfully disagree. Where I do agree with Rameh is the second part, that Rameh said, but they cannot be Metame Acherim, says Rebbe Lazar. Yeah, that I agree with. Because not only can they not be Metame Acherim, they themselves cannot become Tomei. So the V'chein is only going on half of Rameh. But the Gemara immediately points out that that's, of course, a difficult pshat. Because number one, it says, V'chein hoyer Rebbe Lazar oime kidvarov. It doesn't say kidvaroi. Kidvarov ka'amar. Tenefishi, it sounds like everything that Reb Meir said, all of Reb Meir's sayings in this brisa, Reb Lazar says, I agree. So to go and say that he's cutting and pasting, I don't agree with the first part, but I do agree with the second part, shveh. The oid, and similarly, v'chein k'tani. After all, the brisa says, v'chein hoy Reb Lazar oimer. V'chein sounds like it's a carbon copy. He's just repeating word for word Reb Meir said. According to these interpretations of the Braisa, Rav Utaka Bishver, Rebbe Lazar, Stira, Rebbe Lazar, and Rebbe Lazar. Rav maintains weiter that Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yosef ben Yoezer hold that it's totally tohar, even Milatame Tumas Atzmai, zero, no Tumah. But the Lashon HaBraisa is Shver, because it says Vachein Hoya, and it says Kidvorov, so on the surface, there would seem to be a Stira. Gufa. And we continue to delve into this inyan. Again, Rav Amadochin Mamish, Rav holds that there's no such thing as Tumas Mashkin at all, not for themselves, and not to be Matami Acherim. Shmuel Amadochin Matami Tumas Acherim, Avotumas Atzman Yeshlam. They do have, they can be susceptible to tumah. So, what does all that mean? Susceptible to tumah, detached, meaning tumah. What does that mean? If you have, for instance, the water or the blood in the basement b'chaim, or for that matter, any liquid that touches, for instance, a dead sheret, amen, or touches a nevela, it itself becomes tumah according to Shmuel. However, once it becomes tumah, can it go and further transmit the tumah to matame other ochlin umashkin or kalim? No, toshenisht. So according to Rav, the dochin mamish, meaning they cannot even become susceptible to tumah. If you have a dead sheretz and nevela, both touching liquids one after the other, nothing happened min hatayra, because according to Rav, these mashke is not mekabel tumah min hatayra. Shmuel says, no, it does become tame. It just cannot be metame acher. So explain Zigmar. Rav Omar Dochin Mamish Kosova, Tumas Mashkin is only Drabat, not Minatayr, Drabat. And so therefore, going back now to Rabbi Yossi ben Yo'ezer Ish Sereta, he goes to Rabban and Mashkin the Alma. Mashkin the Alma means outside the base of Migdish. They said, yeah, Mashkin can become Tame. But the Mashkin base Mechayim, they were not Gozer at all, and that's why Rabbi Yossi ben Yo'ezer said they remain totally pure, totally tohar. So if chas v'shalom you have a dead animal, a nevela, or you have a dead sheretz that touches the mashkin beis mitbachayim, again that's the water and the blood in the beis hamikdash in the azara, they do not become tameh even midrabanan. Aye, but outside the beis hamikdash they become tameh. Yeah, outside the beis hamikdash I agree. But inside the Beis HaMikdash, like Gaza, the Chachamim did not spread the Gzeira to include the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Dochen Melatami Tumas Acherim, Ava Tumas Atzman Yeshlem. They do have their own Tumah, meaning that they are susceptible to Tumah. They can become Tumah. However, they cannot be Metame Acherim. What does Shmuel hold? Kosova Tumas Mashkin Atzman Di'ay Raisa, that they should themselves be susceptible to tumah and be makabel tumah. That's already says in the Torah. Where does it say that in the Torah? We're going to bring a pasuk in Mi'at Hashem in another few lines. L'tami acherim is rabbanon. Oh, to matami others, that's only rabbanon. And therefore, b'chi kozer rabbanon b'mashkin di alma, the chomer only gozer outside the Beis HaMikdash, b'mashkin b'chayim lo gozer, but not gozer inside the Beis HaMikdash, because we don't want to have hefsid kodesh, and we don't want to lose out on any kabbalas. V'chi lo gozer rabbanon l'tumah acherim, when were they not gozer, that is, not matami others, but tumas atzman yeshlam, but they still have tumas atzman, because that's the oiraisa. The rabbanon couldn't remove the deraisa tumah, so if the a sheretz or nevela touched any of the mashkin basement b'chaya, meaning either the water or the blood in the azara, guess what? They will become tamei, because that's tumas atzman min ha-toira. The chacham could not remove that. Now, however, if that water or that blood went and touched other karbanos, guess what? They would remain tohar. Because even though outside the Beis HaMikdash they can transmit tumah midrabanan, but the rabbanan didn't extend that gzeira to the azar.
So all that we're saying is something can be a rishon can be tama adam and kalim, but it can't be tama mashkin ochel mashkin. That's only according to one side, according to Remeir, let's say, but not according to Blazer, according to this. So that's not a universal cloud that we always quote.
Very good. So Brother Shai is telling us that normally if you have an avatuma, such as a sheretz or nevela, it can be metame across the board, odom v'kelim and oichlum mashkin. What happens if it's taka metame odom or kelim? They become a rishon l'tuma. They can be metame oichlum mashkin. They can't be metame other odoms and other kelim, because a rishon doesn't have that much potency to go metame odom v'kelim. But it can be metame oichlum mashkin. Says Brother Shai, that we're saying that tame the mashkin, that's now totally in the machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether that tumah is a tumah min hatoira or tumah midrabanan. Because according to Rav, no such thing. A mashkin can never become tame min hatoira. only midraban. However, Shmuel says, no, it is mekabel tumah min ha-Torah, it just cannot transmit tumah min ha-Torah. That it transmits is only draban. Good.
We follow all that. I mean, if we were in that situation with the temple, and we would follow all that.
Yes,
rabbinic,
yes. Right, exactly. Rav Huna bar Chinna lebrei, ki ayus lekami de Rapapa. Rav Huna bar Chinna asked his son, when you go in front of Rapapa, Romile, ask him please the following kasha. Mi omer Shmuel dochei meletami Thomas acherim, avu Thomas atzman yesh lehen. You are telling me that they cannot be metame other items such as other ochlin, but they have their own tuma. Krikan, don't I have a problem? It says in the pasuk about basar, ashiga b'chol tamei lo ye ochel. Basar, referring to basar kodeshim, ashiga b'chol tamei, if it touches anything which is tamei lo ye ochel, that kodeshim may not be eaten, but rather be'esh yisareif, you have to go and burn it. Now let's think about what we're saying. He had basar kodeshim, ashiga b'chol tamei, is going to go and touch any tamei whatsoever. Avia voisa tumah, an ava tumah, a rishon tumah, any tumah that it touches, lo yochel, it's going to spoil that basar. It'll become tamei itself, ba'eshi sarif, and you cannot use that anymore because itself is posel because it's tamei. So now, let's apply that to our case of the mashkin. According to Shmuel, that says that mashkin do have a susceptibility to tuma min ha-Torah. That means min ha-Torah, mashkin can become tamei. How does it become tamei? L'moshel, it touches a dead sheretz or nevel. It becomes tamei. Okay. So now, is it tamei? Yes, it is tamei. Shmuel, again, say it very clearly. Can mashkin can become tamei min ha-Torah? Yes. Okay. So now, basar, meaning a korban, which touches b'chol tamei, touches those mashkin, it says lo yiyachel. Now, of course, the pasuk doesn't refer to mashkin in particular, but it says anything which is tamei, b'chol tamei, any type of tumah b'olam, if the korban touches it, boom, lo yiyachel becomes tamei. So that's shver on you, Shmuel, because Shmuel says, yes, the mashkin themselves can become tamei, but they cannot be metamei acherim. L'chol from this pasuk, I see, it can be metamei acherim. Omer of Shish Bereda of Idi, nisht azwe geferlich, vidi da hava Reviyah Bakoidish. It's no different than a Reviyah Bakoidish. What means a Reviyah Bakoidish? As we've said a number of times, as you all know, when it comes to Hilchois Tuma, Chulin can go all the way down to a Sheni. By Truma, it goes to a Shlishi. By Kodshim, it goes to Revi. But that's it. It doesn't go beyond that. So what happens if I have Kodshim, which is a Revi? What means it was a Revi? We started off that you had an Avatama, that was Matame Erishon. The Rishon was Matame Sheni. The Sheni was Matame Shlishi. And the Shlishi was Matame Revi. The buck stops here. This Kodshim is now Revi. If it were to touch another piece of Kodshim, for instance, it would remain Tahor. Why would it remain Tahor? After all, this Revi Bakodesh is Tamei. Then how come it's not Matame? So you see that there's an exception to the rule. Even though the Pasuk said, V'abasa she'igah b'chol tamei, lo ye'yachel. Well, Revi Bakodesh is also a b'chol tamei. Yet you agree, it doesn't cause the basar she'igah with that Revi Bakodesh to be lo ye'yachel. It remains totally tahar. So the same thing applies to mashkin. The din of mashkin, whether the mashkin happens to be a rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, makes no difference. It's the same din as this Revi Bakodesh, that it does have its own tuma, but it cannot be metame acherim. Yes, Ed.
When can a like item tame another item? The exact same thing. Or can't.
Oichlin can metame oichlin. Oichlin means food items can metame other food items.
But that's it.
That's it. You have
only food or different circumstances?
We can talk about, for instance, there's the exceptional case of chas v'shalom, someone who passes away, and then a person touches that mess, or the person is in the same ohel, under the covering with it, same tent, same roof, etc. So that person becomes an avatuma. That avatuma, that person can be metame other people. Usually, one person cannot be metame another person, because usually a person can only get a din of a rishon. In other words, if that person received tuma from a sheretz or from a nevela, they were the avatuma. He becomes a rishon. A rishon cannot be metame odam the kelim. Only oichlan amashkin. However, if the person touched a mess, then he becomes a, let's see, got a big mess on your hand. Now he becomes an avatuma, so he can go be metame other people. Same thing, by the way, would be if the person that we're talking about had his own internal tumah. What do you mean internal tumah? If the person was a zov, or a lady that was a zova, or a nida, or a yoledes, if they go and touch another person, they shake hands with another person, then that person becomes tumah. Why? Because the zav, the zova, yoledes, nida, etc., they all have the din of tumas, ava tumah, so they metameh other people as well.
Not and only those other people become rishon.
And they become rishon, exactly. So, become a rishon. Rishon the first. Oh, first class person. First class tumah too. Anyway, so getting back to Agamar. So Gemara says, Machlan Rav Ashi.
Obvious.
Okay, so, yeah, good. So Omer Rav Rav, Idi midid the havi arvi b'kodesh. So the kasha that we asked in Shmuel is not shver. You're right. The pasuk says, normally if you touch any tumah, any tumah, the kabbonis would become tumah themselves, the eshi saraif. So how come if the mashkin, which are tumah themselves, how come when they touch the kabbonis, they do not become tumah? So you might just like reviva kodesh, that it itself is tumah, but it cannot be matameh other things, other kabbonis, other macholim, anything. Maskur Ravashi. Ravashi says that teretz is a difficult teretz. Why? Because Revi Bakodish li ikri tameh. Hi ikri tameh. Revi Bakodish is not called tameh. Revi Bakodish is called posel. Why is it posel? Because the tumah stops there. As we mentioned yesterday and the day before, when you talk about tumah, although a Revi Bakodish is tameh, just like a shlishi and just like a sheni, the Gemara Lashon is we call it posel. Why? Because the tumah stops there. It cannot transmit the tumah further. So therefore, that's not real bona fide tumah. That's only psul. Masha enkim, you're talking about the mashke is bona fide tumah. It's a rishon, or it's a sheni. It should certainly be metame. Now you're going to go and tell me, yeah, but the lashon of posel, this is a lashon of chazal. We don't find tumah called posel in the Torah. So Rashi points out, you're right. And Revi Bakodesh, we don't find in the Torah bechlal. Revi Bakodesh will learn from a kal v'chomer. Since we learn from a kal v'chomer, there is no posik that says regarding Revi Bakodesh that Abbas is shi'iga b'chol tome in a Revi Bakodesh lo yeyachel. Because Revi Bakodesh doesn't say in the Torah, it's not brought in the Torah, it's only based on a kal v'chomer. That being the case, so when we learn that kal v'chomer, it doesn't insert the kal v'chomer into the posik, into the words b'chol tome. It's in addition to the Torah, since it's in addition to the Torah. So now the kasha still remains. Every other tumah which is enumerated in the Torah, whether it's an avu, whether it's a rishon, whether it's a sheni, whether it's a shlishi, if korban touches it, then it becomes tameh lo ye ochel. How come by the mashka of the Beit Mitbachai you're telling me it's tameh, but it cannot transmit tumah? So that's not true. It says abasha yibchol tameh lo ye ochel. So tomorrow kasha. Good gefreit, it's taka shver. So we had one kasha before on Rav, we have a kasha on Shmuel. Okay. And before Vait. Toshima, we have another brisa now. Now, for the first time, after discussing all of this philosophically and theologically, what does Rav hold? What does Shmuel hold? What does Rav Blazer hold? What does Rabbi Yosi ben Ezra ish Sereda hold? Now we're going to look into the Chumash and see what does the Pasuk say. And it says in the Pasuk, L'chol Mashke. So now, our Gemara is only quoting half of the Pasuk, and we really need to know the entire Pasuk to understand this Gemara and the back and forth of the next couple of lines. So if you have the Torah Ora Shalem, in my Gemara it's number 2, for you it's probably Oiz Beis. It says, Mikolu Oichel Asher Ye Ochel, Asher Yovoi Olav Mayim Yitma, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishase, V'chol Kli Yitma. Now the prior Pasuk, which the Gemara does not bring, but which Rashi does bring, is referring to a kli cheres. Kli cheres means a kli made out of earthenware, as opposed to being made out of, for instance, metal or wood or something else. Okay, Earthenware kelim are different than all other kelim in the sense that all other kelim are metame migaboy, from the outside. A kli cheres is metame mi'aviroi or mitoichoi, from the inside. And in fact, the pasuk right before this pasuk, which we just quoted, the pasuk says about a kli cheres, koil asher besoichoi yitma. Whatever is in the kli cheres will become tame. Meaning, if you had, for instance, a dead sheretz, which enters into the ear space of a kli cheres, even if it doesn't touch the kli cheres, it's just hovering there, merachafes al pnei hamoyim, it's just hovering there in the ear space of the kli cheres is going to become tame. And if there's going to be in that kli cheres any ochlin or any mashkin, any food items or any liquids, they're all going to become tame. How do I know? Because the pasuk says, Koil asher besoicha yitma. Anything inside this kli cheres becomes tame. And then the pasuk continues on, Mikolo ohoichel asher yeochel. Any food item that can be eaten, asher yove olav mayim yitma. Asher yove olav mayim means that it became mukhshel kabel tuma, that heksha means that there was water or any one of the seven mashkois fell on it. It becomes mukhshel kabel tuma. And now, if it's inside this kli, it'll become tame. And not only then, v'chol mashke shiishase, any drink, also b'chol kli yitma, will also become tame. Wow! So it says very clearly in the Torah that a mashke can become tame. Chol mashke b'chol kli yitma, it can become tame. What do I do with this? Rav says there's no such concept of tumas mashke in min ha-Torah. Can Rav argue with a pasuk? Of course not. So what do we do with this? Toshima, chol mashke shiishase b'chol kli yitma. Pray to Yimara, shteitach that it's tamei.
And the pasuk b'chol mashke shiishase.
Shiishase, that's a pasuk? Yeah, it's a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph Lamed Dalet. Yeah, no problem. Anyway, that pasuk is saying that any edible food item, any drinkable drink, liquid, if you find it inside a kli cheres that became tamei, yitma, it itself becomes tamei.
Irrefutable evidence.
Yeah, as irrefutable as it gets. L'choira, how does Rav argue with the pasuk? Every gemara nishver. What Rav says is my yitma, although the lashon is not precise, but when it said in the Torah yitma, it means that it makes other food items susceptible. It's hechsher. It's machshir lekabel tumah. What it means, it's machshir lekabel tumah. So as we explained before, any food item can only become tameh only if you, at any time in its history, after it was harvested, you had water spilling on it. It could be rain, it could be just water, it could be any one of seven different mashkoi, seven different liquids. But it's got to be that it's nichale. Nichale means that he's happy about it. You have apples that you just cut from the tree. You have grain that you just harvested from the ground. And now it starts raining. Baruch Hashem, it's raining. Oh, now the fruit are really going to be geschmack and the grain is really going to be puffy and it's going to be beautiful. Then it becomes mukhshel lekabel tumah. If the person says, I wanted this grain to be for my shmirah matzah, and now that it's touching water, it might go and rise a little bit internally, and I won't be able to go, and it won't be shmirah mishas ktsira. Shmirah mishas ktsira means that you watched it from the time of the harvest, that not a drop of water. Ugh, I'm very upset about it. If he's upset, then it's not mukhshel lekabel tumah. Okay, so now how does Rav learn the pasuk? So Rashi explains that Rav learns the pasuk in the following way. Again, if you look at the Torah Or HaShalem, Mikolo Oichel Asher Yiyochel, any food item, Asher Yovoi Olav Mayim, that water came on it, Yitma, it becomes Mukhshel Kabel Tumah, and it can now be Makabel Tumah. But even if it wasn't Mayim, what happens if Asher Yovoi of Mayim, or Kol Mashke Asher Yishaseh, it wasn't Mayim, it was, for instance,
Coca-Cola,
oh, Coca-Cola would be a subset of mayim. But for instance, if you had yayin that fell on it, or you had shem that falls on it, or you have dam that falls on it, or devash, any one of the seven mashkoyis that falls on it, guess what? It becomes mukhshel kabel tumah. So therefore, the chol mashke shishas, it doesn't mean that it itself becomes tumah in the kli, but rather it's a further modification of the oichel. And it's saying, you know which oichel becomes susceptible to tumah? oichel that was mukshur lekabel tumah. How was it mukshur? Either ashiyovei olavi mayim or kol mashke shiyishase. Mayim fell on it, or other juices or liquids that fell on it, and it became mukshur lekabel tumah. Then it becomes tumah.
Uh-huh. Not with the Indian, though. The Indian's talking about a kli, and now you're translating it to say in a different place.
So let's think about it for a moment. The oichel is inside a kli. So the pashup shat in the pasuk is, remember, the prior pasuk ends off that if the kli cheres became tameh, koil asher besoicha yitma, anything which is now residing in this kli cheres will also become tameh. So give me examples. Says the pasuk, if you have any oichel that was in the kli, an apple was in the kli, a grape was in the kli, a stalk of grain was in the kli. All that becomes tameh. But when does it become tameh? Asher yovei olav mayim. It has to be mukshar lekabbatum. If it was mukshar lekabbatum, it won't become tameh. And in addition to that, if you have mashke shiyishase, any liquid inside the kli, it also becomes tameh. That was the kasha on Rav. You see the mashkin kimib kambal tobe tumma mina toira. Says, no, you're reading the pasuk wrongly. The pasuk is pshat azoi. Any oichel that finds itself, that apple, that grape, that piece of grain, that stalk of grain, that you found inside the klicheres, becomes tummy. When? Either because mayim fell on it and was machshir it, or any other mashka shiyishasa fell on it, and therefore it became mukshal kabal tumma. Then it becomes tameh. Again, that's not the pasuk pshat, but that's how Rav learns the pasuk, because otherwise Rav is in trouble. The pasuk says that mashke can be mekabel tumah. No, mashke cannot be mekabel tumah. Mashke can only be machshir lekabel tumah. Aha. Vayti mara. Hechshe mereisha dekrosh shamislei, mikol oichel asher ye ochel. Now, what's the Gemara's kasha? I know that the beginning of the pasuk is talking about hechshir. It says, that's Beferish, Hashiyov all of Mayim. But didn't I just say now that the Pasuk is coming to tell you not only Mayim, but other liquids as well? True. But the Gemara's Kasha is that the word Yitma is repeated twice. L'choira, based on Rav's teaching, the way he's interpreting the Pasuk, it should say, Mikola Oichel Hashiyochel, Hashiyov all of Mayim, or Kol Mashke Shishos Bechol Kli. Yitma. Why did it say Yitma twice? It says, Mikol Oich Hashiyov Lamayim, Yitma. Mikol Mashke Hashiyishasa, Yitma. Sounds different than what Rav is telling us. And for the Gemara, Chad Betlushin V'Chad B'Mechubarim. No, both of them are talking about Mashke that's falling on the Ochel. And the reason why the Yitma is repeated twice is to tell us two different types of Mashke. What do you mean two different types of mashkin? You have mashkin which is tlushin, which means water that, for instance, was originally coming down from the sky in the form of rain, or water that was in a river, and what I did was I took a kli, I took a bucket, and either I took the rain was coming down in buckets, and therefore I took the rain and accepted it in a bucket, or I took the bucket and I drew water from the river, or from a mayan, or from the sea, or whatever, from a waterfall. That's called mayan tlushin. Mechubarim means that the water is still in the ground, meaning I go over to the Atlantic, I go over to the Hudson River, I go over to any normal river, any lake, which is mechubar lekarka, and I put my fruits or my food items in it. Both of those are machshir lekabel tumah. Sai, water that was originally mechubar, and I was tolesh, and that didn't have to be mechubar, it could have been rainwater, it was never mechubar, but anything which is tolesh was inside a kli. And mechubar means that it's still in the ground. Utzrichi, what do I need both? The yashmin and betlushin. You know why water that is tolush is machshir? Mishum da'achshavinu. I was machshavit, I made this water important, because I said, water, don't stay anymore in the ground. Don't come down from the heaven. I want you, I put you in this kli, because I'm machshav you. I want you. So, since I want you this water, maybe that's the water that is machshir lekabel tumah. And mechubarim, these waters that have been lying here since Sheshit Mei Breishis, who needs your water? Come on. It would be much better if I could just siphon off all the water, take it away, and be able to build a new Yankee Stadium over there. Who needs the mechubarim? Mechubarim, maybe it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Or forget, Because they've been here so many years. Even the oldest person in the congregation, who's now 104 years old, he goes out and says, I remember these waters as a baby. And my grandfather told me these waters were here. And his grandfather told me. So these waters go back to Moshe Rabbeinu or to Adam Arishin's time. They're choshev. Avotlushin, that I just put in the cup. So big deal, so I poured into the cup. I could go pour it out of the cup. We do. That's why the pasuk has to go and tell you, Yitma and Yitma, that what? That Mayim or Mashka are Machshel and Kabotuma, Sai by Tlushin and Sai by Mechubar. Fine. Freiti Mar Toshma. I have another pasuk. What is it in the pasuk? Ach Mayim Uvoir, Mikva Mayim Tiyah Tohar. If I have a Mayim, or I have a bar, and I have a Mikva of water, those waters are Tohar. That's mashma, but there are other waters that are not tohar, that they're tameh. Meaning, these waters are all mechubal karka, water in the mayan. Mayan, of course, is a natural spring, a bar, a cistern, a mikvah mayim, a mikvah. Those waters are tohar. What happens, however, if I took waters out of one of those and I put into a kli? Those might not be tohar, because those could be mekabel tumah. If a sheretz falls into the Atlantic Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean is not going to become tummy. If it falls into a river or lake, they're not going to become tummy. Those remain tar. But what happens if it falls into a pot or a container of water? The chayre becomes tummy. So I see that minatoyra, that mashkin, can be mekabel tummy. Everyone, no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. When it says in the pasuk yitar, it doesn't mean that they remain tohar forever, as opposed to tolution, mind that was detached from the ground, that can become tameh. What it means is yitar mi tamasai. It means that if any one of us peoples, or if any kalim become tameh, and we want to be metaher them, put them in a mayan, a bar, a mikvah, mayan, yetar, depending on the circumstances, like the mikvah, you become tar. It's not yetar that the waters remain tar, but rather they cause people or kalim to become tar, and that's why we go to the mikvah. My yetar to me to masa. Okay, Freyti Mara, you said before, tlushin are machshir. That's how you explained the pshat in the pasuk, that it says yitma twice. She's saying that tlushin water from a bucket, from a container, they can also be machshir. Pray to more tlushin, me machshirin. V'am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, mashkin basement b'chaya, lo yidayin shein dochen, ela shein machshirin. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, not only are mashkin basement b'chaya, dochen, like we said before, machloikas Rav and Shmuel, well, they have their own tumah, or they cannot be matam acherim. But let's go according to Rav. That Rav says not only they're totally pure, that they cannot receive, or they are not susceptible to tumah. In other words, the mashkin beis metachayim of water and dam remain tohar forever. Even if 100 nevelis and 200 dead shrotzim touch them, they remain tar. Not only that, elish ein machshir, they can't even be machshir lekabel tumah. What do you mean they can't be machshir lekabel tumah? You just told me that the pshat in the pasuk is that mikol oichala, that if you have the first pasuk, v'abaser sheyiga b'chol tumah lo yeyochel, the baser that touches any tumah. Any tummy would mean lechayra, even mashbeis mit b'chayim. So you said no. It's just like revi b'koyish. No, it doesn't become tummy. But I have the other pasuk. Mikol oichal shiachal ashiyavi olav mayim yitma v'chol mashke shiishas v'chol kli yitma. That tlushin are machshir lekabel tuma min ha'toyra. I see that in basement b'chayim they are not machshir. Now, if you're going to go and tell me that it's midrabanan, okay, if it's midrabanan, so the Rabbanan did not spread their gzeira to the basement b'chayim in the Azar. But if you're going and telling me that mashkin basement b'chayim, that they're not machshir, how is that possible that not machshir? You just told me that they are machshir min al-Torah. That's the pshat in that pasuk. Mikol mashke ashiyishasa, that it is machshir, even tlushin. So why is it not machshir in the Azar by the basement b'chayim? Evidi mar tirgima al-dam. That that we said that it's not machshir is only referring to the dam in the basement b'chaim, but the water in the basement b'chaim is machshir. Water is machshir, just the dam. So you're going to ask me a dumb question. What's the dumb question? That there are seven mashkois that are machshir, and the mnemonic for that is Yad Shochat Dam, and Yad, the Dalit, is in fact Dam, or it's Tavash. And then I have Yad Shochat Dam, that Dalit is either Dam or Tavash. Whichever way you go, Dam is machshir. It's one of the seven mashkois that are machshir.
Honey, how was it? Dvash is honey, right?
Dvash is honey, correct. It's also a machshir, correct. If honey falls on a food item,
it's sticky.
It's sticky, but that food item, and if you're happy about it, most time you'll say, get the honey out of it, it's getting all sticky.
Honey, please.
But if, we're not talking about that honey. But if honey falls on a food item and you're happy about it, this meat now is going to have a nice honey roast taste because the honey fell on it, you're happy about it. That meat now becomes mukhshir lekabaltom. Here we're talking about dam, and we're saying that dam is not makhshir. How can you say that? Dam certainly is makhshir. It's one of the seven mashkois. Everybody, I'm Rabbi Barabba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Me dying the dam kodshim she ain't a machshir, she nem al oretz tishbechenu kamoyim. Which type of dam is machshir? The type of dam which is tishbechenu kamoyim that you spill out on the floor. In other words, by chulin. If you go and shecht an animal, there's plenty of dam. You let it just go and flow on the floor. You don't look at it. You don't care about that dam. You're not going to eat it. That's, in fact, the first part of the pasuk. Rak hadom lo yisechelu. You're shechting your chulin. Don't eat the dam. Alor tishbuchan kamoyim. Just spill it out. Just get rid of it. Now, why does the Torah say tishbuchan kamoyim? Which you say alor tishbuchan. Was the kamoyim? Dam shenishbach kamoyim is machshir. The type of dam that you pour out down the drain or in the garbage, in the trash bin, it's just like mayim. That's machshir. Tishbuchan kamoyim. Dam, however, she'enam nishbach kamayim. However, dam which has major importance, and you don't just pour it out. Now, where do we find dam that you don't just pour out? The dam of kodshim. What do you do of dam of karbonis? You have to have first a kabbalah sadam, hoyloch sadam, and a zrika sadam that you have to pour it and you have to spritz it on the mizbeach. So it's not nishbach kamayim. Therefore, it's not machshir. So when we said before in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Chanina, the Bas Mishraim, Leidain Shein, Gnochin, Ein Machshirin, it's talking about specifically the dam of Karbonos. But the water there in the basement, Machai, Avad, it's machshir. And that's the Pasik. Chomashka Shishosa, that it is machshir. Maskud of Shmuel Bar Ami. Haridama tamtzis the nishbach kamayim the einan machshir. What about dama tamtzis? Now dama tamtzis means dam that also flows as a result of the shechita. However, it's not the initial blood, because the initial blood, if you've ever been in the shlachtos, and if you haven't, try to picture it in your minds when they're going and severing the kana and beishet, the neck. Those major
YouTube
arteries, etc.
YouTube
has it, okay. You'll see that the blood spurts out in huge, huge quantities. Gallons are spurting out at a very, very, very high pace. Very great. Anyway, that's the din of Shechita. That dam which comes out initially is called dam ha-nefesh. The reason why it's called dam ha-nefesh, because it's dam sha-nefesh yotze bo. And in fact, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk in another few lines, where it also refers to, if you skip a few lines, rak chazak levilti achil hadom, ki hadom hu ha-nefesh, but nefesh yechaper, hu ha-nofesh. So nefesh, that is the dam ha-nefesh, when you shech, the spurting out blood. But after the initial spurting, which takes, I don't know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, half a minute, after that, then the remaining dam, it just trickles out and just flows out. That's called dam ha-tamtzis. Dam ha-tamtzis you cannot use for zrika. You can only use for zrika the dam of the nefesh yotzebai. And therefore, the koyin has to do kabbalah sadam immediately.
Very fast,
exactly. One person is shechting, and the other person is being mekabbalah dam on the spot. He doesn't come a half an hour later to go be mekabbalah dam. He has to do it on the spot. It comes into the mizrik, and they use that for the zrik. Dam matamtzis is nishbach kamayim. It just spills out on the floor. The einam machshir, it is not machshir lekabel tumah. Now, why is it not machshir? How do I know it's not machshir lekabel tumah? Because the dam that I find in the basement of a chayim includes the dam Hatamtzis, right after the you shech the animal, then Koharim take the animal away to the basement B'chaim, where they prepare it in terms of removing the aymerin and put it on the Mizbeach. If it's an oiler, to go and cut the whole thing and put it on the Mizbeach, etc., etc. So there's a lot of dam, and that dam includes the dam Hatamtzis. And none of that is Machshir, because we just pronounced the name of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Maschim Mitzvot Chaya, Ein Machshirin. So now the dam hanefesh that you're going to use for zrika, it's not nishbach kamayim, that I understand in a machshir. But this dam atamtzis should be machshir. Why isn't it machshir? I'm the Reb Zeira. Hanach the dam atamtzis dafil b'chulin nami loy machshir. Don't tell me about dam atamtzis, because dam atamtzis even by chulin is not machshir. In other words, although we say dam is one of the seven mashkois, one of the seven liquids that is machshir, that's talking about dam hanefesh, not dam hatamtzis. How do we know? Says the Gemara, kibli minei Rav Shmuel bar Ami diom rachmona. Rak chazak levilti achoy ladom. The Torah says, make sure not to go and eat dam, ki adom hu hanefesh, dam shehanefesh yoytze by kori dam, dam sheni nefesh yoytze by ene kori dam. The real dam for purposes of dam, in other words, the iser in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat dam, is referring to dam hanefesh, dam shenefesh yoitzibay. That's why the pasuk says ki adam hu manofesh. The dam is the nefesh. That's the neshama. That's the soul of the animal. Mashenken, you're talking about dam atamtzis, ain't a nefesh yoitzibay. That is not included in that pasuk. Now that doesn't mean to say that you're allowed to eat dam atamtzis. I believe that chazak bilti echol adam is talking about where there's a din of kores. A person eats dam, there's a din of kares. If a person eats dam atamtzis, I believe it's a lab and not kares. So if a person wants, has a tremendous yearning to eat dam, and he doesn't want to get curtains, he doesn't want to get kares, so you should rather eat the dam atamtzis and not go and eat the dam nefesh. Of course, you shouldn't eat either one because it's osir menatay.
Does dam atamtzis mean like blood under pressure, like from the carotid artery or something?
No, it means dam that comes out post the major spurting of dam at the time of Shechita. What you're talking about...
After dam and nefesh.
What you're talking about is what Gemara calls dam evarim. Dam evarim means what happens if a person or the havdol, an animal, gets a cut and blood starts coming out, right? You get a cut, you get blood. That blood is not dam and nefesh. The person continues to live, Baruch Hashem. It's not dam atamtzis because it's not post mortem, but rather it's dam evarim. It's just dam that comes out from various arteries, various veins, etc., etc.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, says Imara, ain't a nefesh, ain't a kari dam, and therefore it is not machshir. Period. Toshima, noch hakashim, dam shenitma uzrokei b'shoigig hortza b'meiz loy hortza. What happens if I have dam that became tamei, and I'm now using it for zrika? I'm not allowed to use dam for zrika if it became tamei, because there are various psulim in the Torah referring to kabanis. We have pigol, we have noiser, we have yotze, and we have tumah. If part of the kabanis becomes tameh, it's tameh. So if dam became tameh, you're not allowed to use that for zrika sedam. See if you have other remaining blood which did not become tameh, and use that for zrika. What happens if you were zoyrik dam shenitma? If you did it b'shoigig hortza, then the carbon is good. But mazer, if you knew that this dam is tameh, and you said, I don't care, and you go and do Zrika Sadam, loy hortza, no good. Now when we say good or no good, Rashi talks about whether it means can you eat it, can you not eat it, whether it's oila lebalim in terms of that he was yoitza, his mitzvah or not, ayin barashi. But the point is that this brisa uses an expression, dam shenitma. L'choira, in Rav's dictionary, these two words don't exist. Dam cannot become tamei. Why can't it become tamei? Because Rav holds that basement b'chaya is dochein mamish, that not only can it not transmit tumah, that the mashke doesn't even, it's not even susceptible to tumah. So when Rav sees a brisa like this, and it says dam shenitma, the rabbi says, this doesn't exist. Dam cannot become tamei. So what are you telling me? Dam shenitma is rakoi. Well, what's going on? And for the Gemara, Midrabanon. when we said that it cannot become tummy according to Rab, that's min ha-toira, because there is no pasuk that says dam can become, or that any mashke can become tummy. It is a pasuk called mashke shiishase b'chol. Yeah, that's talking about being machshir. That's not talking about becoming tummy. So min ha-toira, there's no such thing as a liquid becoming tummy. How does it say that this dam became tummy? Midrabanan. Yeah, midrabanan, there is tuma. I remember learning at the beginning of today's shir that Rabbi Yossi ben Yezer Ish Tzureida said that Mashkin basement Bechaya are Dochein, that they cannot be Metame, and according to Rab, that they themselves do not become Tame. It's Dochein Mamish. Zero. That was Rab. Rama Dochein Mamish. They neither can be Metame Acherim, nor do they even have Tumas Atzmat. And says the Gemara, here you're saying it's Dam Shenitma. And you're saying a midrabanan. No, Yosef ben Yezer said there's no such thing. That there's another man Yomer out there, the Tana of this Braisa, that when it says Dam Shenitma, he disagreed with Yosef ben Yezer. And he says that in fact, that although there is no Tumas Mashkin min HaToira, but there is Tumas Mashkin Midrabanan. Not like Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's Dochen, it's totally tar, even Midrabanan. It's Machlokes. Toshima. Alma Tzitz Meratze. As we know, one of the big day Koyin Godel is the Tzitz. Tzitz is the, such a head plate that he had on his forehead. And what did it say on that plate? It said Kodesh Lashem. Okay, so skipping a few lines, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the Nosa Harnes Avoyna Kodeshim. Now, the beginning of that pasuk, in my Gemara, it's number 2, in your Gemara, it might be Beis. It says about the tzitz, V'hoya al Meitzach Aharon. Aharon, when he's doing the Avoyna, the Beis of Mikdash, he should wear the tzitz on his forehead. V'nosa Aharon, by wearing that, Aharon will be noisa, he carries as avoyna kodeshim. Now the word over here doesn't really mean carry, it means it's going to atone for avoynois, for avedis that affect the kodeshim. That is the kabbadis which are being brought. Ashayakdish b'nei Yisrael l'chol matnis kodeshayim v'yamitzchay tamid, he should wear it at all times v'ratzal l'fnei Hashem. So now we learn from that pasuk that the tzitz has this miraculous power, that it's meratzah. Meratzah means that it affords atonement on avedis involving the kachim. And as we'll see in the Gemara, another line or two, it's not referring to just any Aveira, but specifically to the Aveira of Tumah. And so therefore, getting back to Toshima, Alma Tzitz Meratzah, what will the Tzitz forgive you and atone you for? Al Adam, the Al Abosir, the Al Achelev Shenitma, Bein B'Shoigig, Bein B'Mezit, Bein B'Oynes, Bein B'Rotzin, Bein B'Yochid, Bein B'Tzibur. It doesn't matter how you got tumah on the dam, on the basur, on the chaylev. If it became tumah, b'shogi, b'meizit, b'oynis, b'ratzit, etc. And then you took, for instance, this dam, and you went and did a zrikas hadam with dam that was tumah, the tzitz is meratzah. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, the carbon is fine. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit difficult, because we just finished saying a moment ago in the previous Braisa, the dam shenitma uzrake b'shoigig is hortza, b'meizit loy hortza. And here we're saying that the tzitz is meratza al adam bein b'shoigig bein b'meizit. Didn't you just say that only b'shoigig but not b'meizit? And here you're saying even b'meizit. So Rashi points out that the Gemara asks this kasha elsewhere, and the Gemara distinguishes between what was the shoigig in each case. Was the shoigig that it became tomei b'shoigig? B'shoigig means by mistake, by accident. Or are we talking about that he went and did a zrika b'shoigig without realizing that it became tomei? And in fact, Rashi says, based on that Gemara, that you can learn it both ways. In other words, at the first braisa, when it says, with tzitz and meratzah, on the previous braisa, dam shenitma uzraki b'shoigig, that the zrika was done b'shoigig, and that's why it's hortze, it's okay. I didn't mean, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Or, the zrika was b'mezid, it's that the dam became tomei b'shoigig. So dam shenitma, and I did a zrika b'shoigig, if the dam became tomei b'shoigig, even though I did a zrika b'mezid, but the tumas dam was b'shoigig, Tzurzim. So therefore the two pshatim. Either dam shenitma, that the tumah came on b'shoigig, or the tumah was takim b'mezer, or it didn't happen b'mezer, but the point is that the dam is vadei tomei 100%, and the zerika was done b'shoigig. So that's the difference between the two brises, when we distinguish between the shoigig. Here it said b'mezer is loy hortza, and the other places mezer is hortza, depending on whether the dam became tomei b'mezer or the zerika was b'mezer. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, it's a Toshim al Marat Sitz Menatze al Adam al Bosvat Chayiv Shenitma Beim Shogim Amazim Moin Rotzim Beim Yoch Beim Tzibur. What do I see crystal clearly? I see in the Gemara that Sitz is Maratze on Dam that became Tomei. How can Dam become Tomei according to Rav? Rav said back on the Omer Aleph that a Mashke cannot become Tomei. Not only can it not transmit Tuma, it itself is not even susceptible to Tuma min ha-teira, and Dushtei Tachiyah. And from my Midraban. So my Midraban. Udleik Rabbi Yossi ben Yeheze ish Tzureida. Ein Achanami min ha-teira. Not, it's Midraban. The Teretz of the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand because the tzitzis meratzah, meaning a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, like we say in the Gemara in the next line, Toshima v'nosan harnes avoyne kodeshim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I give you, koyin godl, a tzitz, and with that you're going to go me metayr, you'll atone for any avedis referring to tumah. Now, which tumah are we talking about? It must be a tumah min ha-toyre. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not saying the Torah. If the rabbis decide in 2,000 years from now to go and make a din of tumah midrabanan, the tzitz will meratzah on that. It's not logical, it's not reasonable to assume that that's the pshat in the pasuk. That in case there'll be a future tumah, it'll be meratz on that. But that's what the Gemara is saying now. So bisul shveh. So perhaps when I was learning this with my chavrus in the kol yesterday, he suggested that maybe, as we know, all drabonans have a makor, have a source in the Torah. And that's the din of lois saucer. That anytime the rabbis tell you something, lois saucer, you're now allowed to go in, you're not allowed to go in there, either to the right, to the left, you got to listen to chazal. So maybe based on that, that's why this price is saying that the tzitzu meratze on the dom, which is nitma bish midrabanan, but it has its source, if you will, in the Torah. It's toshima. Who knows? You say it just says that the tzitz is meratze; it forgives and atones for ovoin, for an aveda. Now, which ovoin are we referring to? Im ovoin pigel. If you're going to tell me that the carbon became pigel, as you know, pigel means that you had a machshava of chutzlas mani, chutzlam koimoi, harik varnema lo yiratza. In the parsha of pigel, it says in the pasuk, the Gemara quotes the pasuk on the side, "Imay ochel yiyochel biyoy meshlishi pigelu lo yiratza lo yiratza." It's never going to be l'ratza in the fun of. You can have 12 tzitzim. It remains no good. If you're talking about noise, what does it say? Lo yechoshev. So again, no good. Ah, what is the tzitz meratze on? On avoin tuma. Now, before we continue on, when the Gemara said that it's meratza, it's not meratza on pigel, it's not meratza on noiser, Rashi points out that this Gemara is a little bit misleading, if you will. Noiser, in our minds, always means that the carbon was left beyond its time limitations. A regular carbon is liyom v'layla. A carbon shlomim l'moshel is shnei yom v'layla echad. If the carbon was left over beyond that time, it has a status of noiser. Ah. So the Gemara is telling us, I would have thought that the tzitz is meratza on this noiser. What do you mean it's meratza on the noiser? The carbon was already fine. You did a perfect shechita, a perfect kabbalah sadam, a perfect haylocha sadam, a perfect zrika sadam. The kohen says, I give you a written certificate. This carbon was brought with all hidurim, with all chumras. It's perfect. One problem was, I'm sorry?
It was pigle perfect.
It was pigle perfect, right? One problem was that a day or two later, I should have eaten it, and I didn't eat it bismana. Okay, so that's a separate story. I was over, like Cecil Menuad Boiker, you're not to leave it over, you should make sure to eat it. Okay, I was over the Isser. I unfortunately left it over. But that doesn't affect the efficacy of the carbon. The carbon was perfect. The carbon was pickle perfect, as you say. So that being the case, what's the Gemara's happening? And therefore Rashi says that when the Gemara says im ovein pigel, im ovein noiser, we're not referring to actual noiser, but rather we're referring to, in the case of ovein pigel, that he had a machshava of chutzlam koimai, and noiser means a machshava of chutzlas money. Not that it actually was chutzlas money, but the machshava was chutzlas money. Anyway, so I might have thought that that's what the tzitz is maratza. No, lo yaratza, lo yichashim. Rather, what is a maratza on? Tumma, on tumma. That if you had dam, or you had chaylev, or you have basar, anything becomes tamay, the tzitz is maratza. Okay? Why taka is tumma special that it's maratza? Shudim achlal b'tzibur. Because as we know, tumma hutra b'tzibur, for instance, by Karm Pesach. So since I find that tumma has already certain leniencies in a hutra b'tzibur, I find another leniency that even if it's a carbon yachid, and there was tumma involved, the tzitz comes and washes away that issue, that isra. So Zok Yimara, since it says in the Pasuk that it's maratza on tumma, my love tumma stam, aren't we talking about the tumma of dam? And therefore, you see that there's a din of tumma minatoyra by dam. Amra papaloi, tumas kimotzim. What's tumas kimotzim? Says Rashi, that when you want to bring a karb mincha, you have to take the kometz and put the kemitza on the mizbeach. If that kemitza became tamei, that's what the Nosa Harnath, when the Kodesh, and that's what the Tzitz is Maratza on that Kemitza. Rashi says, who adin? We could have said L'chayra, like the previous price, that it's Maratza on the Basar and the Chaylev. It's just not Maratza on the Dam, because the Dam is the Mashke, which according to Rav doesn't become Tomei Minatayr. So it's talking about the Chaylev and the Dam, and not the Chaylev and the Basar, or in this case, the Kemitza. Rashi says, why we don't bring the Chaylev and the Basar?
No, Nosar is not. Then my conclusion, tell me if I'm wrong, no sar is not tome, just because it's extra and not wanted and it's illegal to eat, right? It's just not...
You're right and you're not right. Min ha-Torah, there is no tuma by noiser, it's just osur. You're not allowed to eat a carbon that was left behind beyond its time. True. That's only a din of iso, no din of tumah. Right. Yesterday we learned in the Gemara that the Chachamim impressed on Noiser a din of tumah drabban. Why did they do that? Because the Kehanim, when they hear the word tumah, they run away in fear and trepidation. Nobody, they go out of control. Tumah.
I say it's a better control on people to avoid.
Right. And the Rashi said, because of what we call atzolei kahuna, the Kehanim should have said, Shnau Rabbeisa, it's almost 12 o'clock. Eat. We don't want it to become noiser. And unfortunately, they were lazy. They said, yeah, we got time. We'll be back. We're going to... Sure, because of that, they put on tumah. Toshima, the final raya today. Hein yisa ish basar kodesh beknaf bigdoi, v'noga bekanfoi or beknofoi, let's read the pasuk correctly, in Chagai. Hein yisa ish basar kodesh beknaf bigdoi, v'noga beknofoi el halechem, v'el hanozit, v'el hayayin, v'el shemen, v'el kol machel, hayikdosh, v'yanu hakehana v'yoyimro, lohoi. What is this all about? This is talking about at the beginning of the second base of Migdash. Second base of Migdash, the Kahanim were coming up from from Golus, coming into Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, and unfortunately, Karbanis had not been brought for the last 70 years because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And as a result, many of the Hilchas Kodshim and Tumah V'Tahara were no longer fluent in the mouths of all of the Kahanim. It's just like today. If you go over to your regular Kohen, hey Kohen, can you tell me the difference between Avatam Rishon, Tov Hashem, Tov Hashem, and it's by Kodesh, by Chulin, and by Yetruma, and can you tell me when would it be, and is Mashkin, Tommy Midraises, Midraban, etc. The Kohen would say, why are you asking me all these questions? Because Mitzvah and Bismitz are going to be rebuilt today, and you have to have Kohanim that know what they're doing. Chagai was concerned about that, and Chagai decided to go and give an oral, or perhaps even a written test to the Kohanim. And what did he do?
A dishu test.
Hein yisa ish psar kodesh. Now psar kodesh sounds like kodeshim, but Rashi tells us this is a borrowed term from another pasuk, and it really means a sheret. A person is holding a sheret, but not bigdai, in the corner of his garment. And v'noga b'kanfei, he took that corner of the garment with the sheret, and he touched lechem. So now the sheret, of course, has a din of an avatum. It touched the lechem. The lechem is going to become a
rishon.
Then the lechem is going to touch nozid. Rashi says nozid means a stew, like we had in the pasuk last week. Nezid adoshim, right? A lentil stew. Okay, so now the lechem became a rishon. It touches the nozid, becomes a sheni. The sheni now touches yayin, which becomes a shlishi. The shemen now becomes a revi'i. And he asks now to the Kohanim, will hayikdash, will they all become tamei? They said, No, they will not become tame, because they thought there is no din of Revi Bakoidish, and perhaps they thought there's no even din of a Shlishi. After all, Chulin only goes to a Sheni. So they thought that the Yain and the Shemen, they don't become Tameh. And they said, no. Did they make a mistake? The Omer Rav Ishtabish Kahani. The Kahanim made a big boo-boo. They should have said that it's Tameh. But unfortunately, they messed up the test. Ah! I don't understand why. According to Rav, they answered correctly. That in fact the Yain and the Shemen do not become Tameh. You know why they don't become Tameh? Because Rav holds the Shitasai that Mashkin don't become Tameh. So Rav should have said, you all get 100 and I give you 100 plus plus.
And because gold star.
Gold star. And Rav said, Nishtamish, they kind of made a mistake. The whole Kashi asking according to Rav. Rav Mashki base mitbechayetoni. Av Mashki bay. Mitbechaya mitame. Wow. What's the difference between mitbechaya and midbechaya? Mitbechaya is talking the base hatabochim.
The kitchen.
The kitchen, the butcher store, where they are cutting up the meat. There you have two mashkois. You have water and you have blood. That's what Rabbi Yosef ben Ezra said. Those are not mekabel tumah. It's doche, totally. However, the mashki be midbechaya, the word midbechaya is like the word mizbeach. Remember, zayin and dalit are mischalif in Aramaic, interchangeable. So it's talking about mizbeach. The mizbeach also has mashkois. What mashkois are we talking about now? We're talking about yayin, because you do the nisach hayayin. And we're also talking about shemen. What do you use shemen in the mizbeach? In connection with your carbon mincha otazoi. Those are mitame. Why those mitame? Says Rashi, they're not mitame min ha-toira, but they are mitame midrabanan. And therefore, when it says in the pasuk that Chagai tested them and asked them about the yain v'shemen, says Rav, yes, those midrabanan do become tame. Yeah, in times of Chagai you had the rabbanans, says Rashi, yeah. These were early gezeiros derabanan, and that's why we're saying that they were not accepted in the Beis Hamikdash, the Gab, the Dam, and the Mayim. These were already the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, not from the times of the Gemara. This is already times of Chagai, one of the Treyasa Neviim, one big Neviim. So we're saying that this gezeiros happened already many, many years before. So Einoch Anami, says Rav, I still hold vehemently and fervently and sincerely that Dam and Mayim do not become Tomei, even the Beis Hamikdash, even not only don't they are not Metamei, others they themselves are Tohar, Torah Legami. However, what does this pasuk say that Mashkin are Mekabel Tuma, Yain V'Shemen, which is Midrabanan, but not Min HaTorah. So we continue in the Meir Hashem tomorrow by Sai.
Yeah,
wasn't that terrible? Okay. Any questions on my side?
When did